3 and 4 o'clock in the morning before they'd ever get back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when did you start babysitting? How old were you?
Oh, probably no more than 12.
Mm-hmm. So you actually started the babysitting first.
And then even while I was working in the telephone office, which would only be days as a general thing, and then we'd, babysit evenings too.
Yeah.
And of course, we were a busy family. There were 5 of us children.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was a teamster in the oil fields and owned his own teams.
Mm-hmm.
My Uncle John lived with us, and he was a teamster in the oil field and owned his, he had 2 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And so with my dad and Uncle John and Mom and, we kids and all the hired men, we were busy people.
It sounds like
very hardworking people.
Yeah. Did you live like on a farm?
No, we lived right in the village.
Right in the village.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did your mother work at all?
No, my mother was just a homemaker.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember if she did any work in the home for money, like dressmaking or anything
she didn't.
Like that?
No,
because a lot of women did that at
yes,
that time.
No, no, my mother was the youngest of 5. And she had to help her dad on the farm. Now, they lived on a farm, and she had to help with the farm work.
Oh, I see.
And her sisters all were beautiful seamstresses, but Mom never learned to sew.
Uh-huh, because
she was
busy.
She'd make an apron, or bill slip, some sheet, something like that, but never made their dresses.
Yeah. did she ever take in boarders into the house?
No, just the hired men that my father and my Uncle John had.
Mm-hmm. They worked for them on the,
yes,
in the oil
and
fields.
Yes, and they lived right in the home with us.
Uh-huh. Did they pay your mom any room and board, do you remember?
No, their board was free.
Their board was free.
I don't remember at all what wages they had a day, but their board and room was free because of working with the teams.
I see. So your mom sort of took care of the family plus the extra people.
And carried water and wood and coal and, for heat.
Yeah, boy, that's a lot of work. A lot of people to take care of.
It certainly was.
Yeah. Yeah. When you started working for the telephone company, how many days a week did you run the switchboard for them?
Well, I suppose sometimes after school, I'm sure. I know it wasn't every day in the week. It was just when this man and his wife would want a break. And of course, they were older people when they were married, but then they went right at it and started having, seems though, a child every year. I think her name was Mary. I'm pretty sure it was. And she was, not really a cripple, but she was different.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, with the children and so many babies, I think they had 4 or 5.
Oh, my heavens.
And she just didn't feel up to, work, doing the homework and taking care of the switchboard.
Sure,
too.
Sure.
So I really can't remember that, Jackie, whether... I know quite often on Saturday and Sunday they would like to be gone, and I would work Saturday and Sunday both.
Yeah.
But somebody had to be there around the clock, so I suppose they came back in the evening, and took over themselves.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how many days a week, or how many hours a week you would work?
Don't have any idea anymore.
Did you like doing that?
Oh, yes, it was fun.
I bet it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
Uh-huh. What did you do with the money you earned?
Oh... Because I was a schoolgirl, I suppose it probably helped with my clothing, and because we were very hard up, a large family, and oil field work didn't pay that much.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad died at 46.
I was
the only one of the 5 of us kids married.
I see.
And my older sister was she was an office worker in Olean. And then there were the 3 younger kids still at home.
Mm-hmm. When your dad died.
Yeah.
Do you remember if you gave any of your money to your family to help them out when you were doing the telephone
stuff? I can't remember at all whether Mom would say, well, buy a loaf of bread, or she might have. I can't remember.
Uh-huh. But you didn't come home and say, here, Mom, here's my wages.
No, we didn't have to do that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So so you bought clothes with it, maybe.
Well, probably shoes or even hose, after I got into high school. So I just can't remember.
Yeah. How long did you work at the phone company?
Well, I don't think only about 3 years, probably, off and on, just, part-time, 3 years.
And all that time you were also babysitting?
Yes. Off and on.
Did you primarily babysit for the same family, or did you have different families that you babysit for?
Well, there were, I think, just about three families that I babysat quite regularly for.
Mm-hmm.
So it
Was that mostly evening babysitting?
Yes, evenings.
And like on the weekends, if they would
go
out?
When they want to go someplace.
Uh-huh. And you got 25 cents an hour?
25 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm. If they were gone until 3 or 4 in the morning, did you get more than the 25 cents
just,
an hour?
No, they would just pay me the hours I had been there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had the privilege of lying down and going to sleep, for times like that, because, I wasn't that old, and, I'd get so tired and sleepy.
Yeah. Do you remember how many children it was that you were babysitting for?
Well, yes, both families had three
mm-hmm.
each.
Mm-hmm.
That they.
Mm-hmm. Were you responsible for just babysitting, or were you expected to do other things, like feed the kids or do laundry?
I think that they usually would leave their homes, after the evening meal,
mm-hmm.
and they would have the dishes done. No, I wasn't required to do a thing, only just see that the children were put to bed and
mm-hmm.
and that they were all right in the night and mm-hmm. so forth.
Mm-hmm. So it was just straight babysitting?
Yes.
You didn't
uh-huh.
have to do anything
no,
else
didn't
for
have to
them?
Do anything.
Uh-huh. How did your family feel about you working at the phone company?
They didn't care. They were glad I had the work, I guess.
Yeah. How about the babysitting? Were they concerned if you were had to be out that
late?
It
wouldn't be an awful long walk, but I was telling somebody just recently here about, these people would get back from Buffalo maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd have to walk home all
mm-hmm.
alone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't suppose it was even an eighth of a mile that I'd have to walk. It was just down our street and up a hill,
mm-hmm.
and but it used to be pretty scary.
I bet it was at that hour of the morning.
Yes, at that hour of the
yeah,
morning.
Yeah. Did your parents mind that you babysat that late at night?
No. I can't remember that Mom or Dad ever said a word, mm-hmm. just that they knew I had to stay till the people got back.
Mm-hmm.
That's all there was to it. Mm-hmm.
But they probably slept with one ear open, right, until you got in the house.
Just like I did with our
right.
six.
Yeah, keep a close ear.
One ear open. Until they were all in.
Yeah. Are you the oldest in the family, youngest?
No, I have
middle?
An older sister, mm-hmm. an older sister. And yesterday would have been my brother's birthday. He would have been 68, but he died mm-hmm. many years ago.
Mm-hmm. And then everybody else is younger than you are.
Yes, yeah. I have the two sisters mm-hmm. younger.
So you're the second oldest uh-huh. in the family.
Yeah,
I see. And were your when your brothers and sisters were in high school or grade school, did they work at all?
Oh, I suppose. I can't remember that my brother did,
mm-hmm.
because there wasn't that much for boys to do.
Uh-huh.
But I know the girls babysat, and then my oldest sister, after she graduated from high school in Eldred, and mm-hmm. then she went to what was Westbrook's Academy in mm-hmm. Olean at that time, and now, mm-hmm. of course, it's Olean
Business
Institute.
Right.
And then she was a very good office worker. She had steady work for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then after she was married, she worked in her husband's office. But then my youngest sister is a registered nurse.
I see.
And it's my other sister, Isla, that lives in Florida. They've been down there 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so everybody worked.
Yes, yes, we were a working family.
Yeah. Do you think that there were more chances for you and your sisters to pick up part-time jobs than there was for your brother?
I know there was, mm-hmm. yes, because I don't remember Lowland going out to work until... I don't know. I guess he quit school right at the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Probably went through the eighth grade, and then he went to work in the oil fields.
I see.
Kids, 16, 17 years old could go right into the oil fields in mm-hmm. those days, mm-hmm. as a pumper. I suppose he was a pumper.
Uh huh. Uh huh. But other than the oil fields, there wasn't much opportunity
for
boys to work.
Not in Duke Center. There was mm-hmm. just nothing.
Mm-hmm. But girls could babysit uh-huh. or. Help with the phone company
or something
like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's interesting. That
there was only the one grocery store, and it was family-owned, and their family worked in it. And
mm-hmm.
in fact, Marion Bromley, do you know the Bromleys that own the, sort of that big castle building down here at the Belvedere Farms?
Oh, yes, yes.
And she was a grow girl from mm-hmm. New Center, so I've known Marion since we... And then her brother Bill was just a year ahead of me in school.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I used to tell Roberta Muma, she's married to, or she was a Bromley.
Right,
and,
right.
That mm-hmm. The grows were upper crust and we were lower. And she'd just say, Mrs. Marsh, she'd say. But it was true.
Was it?
You know,
uh-huh.
really, even back in those days, there was that division.
Mm-hmm.
See, there were many oil people in Duke Center, and they were fairly well-to-do.
I see. Was it a good-sized town? I mean,
No, I don't think that Duke Center ever had more than... 500 or 600.
Oh, so it's
I really
a small
don't
town.
Know now mm-hmm. to go through. It's has grown, mm-hmm. and but I don't know that there are that many more people mm-hmm. there mm-hmm. because they go to Bradford to work or
right.
the powder plant in Eldred or mm-hmm. someplace like that.
But even though it was small, you felt there was definitely people with money and people.
Oh
with,
yes, oh yes,
money.
There was a real division of people,
mm-hmm. and you were very aware of that.
Very much aware of it,
yeah.
even back in uh-huh. those days in mm-hmm. the 20s.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not that's not surprising though, but that was all oil country down there.
Yes, Duke Center was a very. It's not anymore. It's mm-hmm. drilled out,
mm-hmm.
but it was called the Bradford Oil Fields, and of course it was
oh,
a very
yeah.
busy oil
mm-hmm.
village.
Mm-hmm. Were your mom and dad from that area originally, or?
No, they were from, I can't even remember where my dad was born. I think my mother was born right down here at Nile, if I remember right,
mm.
or the Nile Road of Friendship.
Right, yeah.
And, no, I think they were Eldred people when they met,
mm-hmm.
and then went together a few years and were married.
Mm-hmm. And then moved to...
Yes.
To that area?
Yes, then we moved to Duke Center.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know what year they were married? Or?
Oh, I can't tell you anymore. I probably have got it in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really, I could get that book if you don't mind.
No.
My mother would be 100 this coming September, and my dad would be 99
mm.
in September.
Uh-huh. They didn't write it down.
Oh, yes, yes. January the 22nd, 1908.
They were married in 1908?
1908, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my older sister was born in 10, and then I was born in 12. My brother in 15, my next sister in 1920, and then my youngest sister in 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your mom had several little children around to take care of there for a while.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
A couple years between all of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. When did you do any other kind of work besides babysitting or the phone company when you were in school?
No.
No, that was it primarily. Did you have to help out around the house, too?
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. We had to help.
Do you remember what kind of chores you had to do? Or?
Well, of course, there was always... at one time, we had running water, and then, I don't know, the springs in Duke Center were bad.
Mm.
We had a well, and that went bad from all the drilling.
Oh.
We could use it for some things, but then we couldn't use it for drinking or cooking.
Mm-hmm.
We could use it in our bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, there was always wood to bring in and mm-hmm. coal. We burned wood and coal both for heating.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had a gas. Well, one part of it was wood, I suppose, a big range
the
kitchen.
Right,
and
yeah.
a gas to, mm-hmm. to cook with and bake with. But outside of... And then, of course, I had to bake some. My older sister was a much better baker than I.
Mm-hmm.
But I did the cleaning. I was good at cleaning.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So Aline helped with the cooking and the baking, and I mm-hmm. was the cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Did your mom have, like, a garden? Did she do her own canning and preserving?
Not so much canning, no. But we did have a garden, a small garden.
Mm-hmm.
But, just for in-season
mm-hmm.
vegetables and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad raised his own pork, and then once in a while we'd have a young beef
mm-hmm.
that he had raised.
Mm-hmm.
But, no.
But she didn't do a lot of canning and preserving or like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you were married when you were 17?
17 and a half.
17
I'd been 17 in April, and we were married on the 7th day of December.
Mm-hmm. And that was after you finished high school? Or?
Well, no, I hadn't finished high school.
You hadn't finished high school.
I wish I had, but I hadn't.
I see. Uh-huh. So you were married before you finished school?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you lived down there, or you moved?
We lived with my folks right there in Duke Center for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad died, and then we... the year after we were married, my dad died.
I see.
And then we got a place of our own. Jim was working for an oil company on lease pumping,
mm-hmm.
and they had oil company houses, so we moved into one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Eldred, Pennsylvania. Let me see. No, we didn't. Erase. No, then when Barbara was 8 months old, we moved up Duffy Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved back to Duke Center. Jim got work again.
I see.
And then we moved back to Duffy Hollow, and then we moved to Knapp's Creek,
mm-hmm.
then to Duke Center, and then to Eldred.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back to Duffy Hollow and stayed there for 21 years.
Okay, this is probably going to take me a little while to get all this straight.
It will.
When you're...
You just have to cut a whole lot.
When your husband was first started working down there, what oil company was he with?
Well, he was a driller in the oil fields. Mm-hmm. Yes. Dear, so, he worked for different people. I know he worked for his own brother-in-law. His name was Clarence Hanshaw.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked a number of years for Forest Oil Company. That was when we lived right in Knapp's Creek. He worked mm-hmm. for Forest Oil. And then he worked for, can't really remember. He worked for a man by the name of Walter Hill. Walter was doing some drilling in the Knapp's Creek area. And he worked for Clyde Depew. Clyde died mm-hmm. from over on the Petroleum Road two mm-hmm. or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then he worked for Lund Lumber. That was after we moved back to Wellsville. And then he went to work for the refinery.
I see.
And worked right there for 19 years mm-hmm. until they went out of business.
Mm-hmm. When you lived in the company housing, do you remember which company provided the housing for you?
Dear, I can't remember when we lived up what was called the Kansas Branch Road, but you know I can't remember that oil company at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember Forest Oil in Knapp's Creek that he mm-hmm. worked for. We lived there several years.
Mm-hmm. What was the company housing like?
Oh, very thin walls. Cold. Uh-huh. It was bitterly cold in Knapp's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Just bitterly cold.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we burned wood there, too.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose he got it off the lease. I can't remember if we did mm-hmm. or not.
But was there like a cluster of houses?
Knapp's Creek was just a small community.
Mm-hmm.
Very small.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was it like a company town? Did the oil company
provide?
Well,
no, not necessarily. There were... I think only about four company houses in a row there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then out on another road, though, there were several more, just down the road where you would have gone from Knapp's Creek down toward Duke Center.
Mm-hmm.
There were some more oil company houses there.
I see. Was the housing free? Was that like part of
yes,
the wages?
Yes, that was free. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was there a company store in town, or could you buy from...
No, it was... the store was owned by a woman by the name of Crady,
mm-hmm.
Catherine Crady.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been Duke Center. In fact, the McCradys were Duke Center people. I don't know where Catherine was from, but she married a McCrady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we bought our groceries there.
I see.
I suppose went shopping in Olean once in a while, too. Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
How far were you from Olean?
Do you know where Rock City is? Have
oh,
you
yes.
ever been in Rock City?
Oh, yes.
Well, Knapp's
yeah.
Creek is just the other little community right on out
uh-huh.
the road.
Oh, I see.
There, I suppose, I don't imagine more than six or seven miles
from
Olean. Yeah,
I was
going
to say you're pretty close
uh-huh.
down
yes,
there.
Yes, we were close
yeah.
to Olean.
Yeah, so you're just sort of right over the
uh-huh.
border.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you stayed in Knapp's Creek how long?
Oh, dear, I think 4 years.
Four years.
We were there 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Did you work at all while you were there?
No. by the time we, just before we left Knapp's Creek, David had been born, and he was our fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I was busy.
Mm-hmm. So you had children kind of quickly, too.
Yes. And, oh, yes, you know. We had 6 and 10 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So you had a lot of little kids around, too,
yes.
to take care of.
Sure did.
uh-huh. That was during the Depression. Were jobs tight in the oil fields?
Very tight. That's why we moved to different places, you know, like we'd come back to Wellsville,
mm-hmm.
and then Jim would get somebody to call and give him a job in the oil fields again. And when he was out of work between times, well, he just would work right for the farmers, right in the area of Duffy Hollow there
mm-hmm.
in Wellsville.
So if his job ran out in the oil fields, you'd come back
yes,
to Duffy Hollow
back.
And Wellsville mm-hmm. and work
yes.
on the farm,
yes.
and he'd pick up some work like
yes.
that and then go back if they
uh-huh.
called him back.
His father had given us this home in Duffy Hollow, and then, of course, even before we moved in, it was in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a lot of fixing up before we ever moved in the first time when Barbara was 8 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we continued there, we had a lovely home
mm-hmm.
in Duffy Hollow
mm-hmm.
because he was a very good carpenter, you
mm-hmm.
know, knew how to do everything and
yeah.
the wiring and all.
Yeah.
So it was a busy life,
yeah.
very busy.
When you were living up in Duffy Hollow, did you farm also? I mean, did he?
He did part-time farming,
mm-hmm.
and he built a very large barn and
mm-hmm.
had a, I think at one time we had 12 or 15 cows.
Oh,
and then one year he raised hogs, and
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, we always had chickens
uh-huh.
over there.
Uh-huh.
And then the six kids went to Andover to school. They all graduated from Andover. And the school bus would come. For a number of years, the kids all had to walk about a half a mile to get the bus. And that was bad because in real bad weather, back in those days, we were having terrible winters. I, you know, never knew whether the bus was coming or not. No radio, no way to know. And so then they'd come trudging back up the road, half frozen.
I bet.
Well, then eventually one of the school board members and Jim had grown up together. And he got the bus put beyond our house, right straight on up the road. They could turn around. And so for all the rest of the years of kids in Andover, where they had the bus right at our, just across the bridge.
Oh, that was much better than
I guess so.
I bet the kids were glad.
It was good for the kids, and it was such a relief for me.
I bet.
You know.
Yeah. When you were living up there in Duffy Hollow, did you help on the farm? Did you
have no, I never even learned to milk a cow. I certainly didn't.
Did you have a garden?
Oh, yes, a very large garden. Did an awful lot of canning. There, I can remember one year in particular, Jim had, he had the use of the extra lot at the Wellsville Cemetery. And he had, of course, his own tractor and plows and everything. And he raised all of his corn and potatoes and tomatoes down on this beautiful ground down there. And one year I had 700 and some quarts of, because that was before we even had a freezer, corn, tomatoes, pickles of all kinds and relishes and jellies and, you know, and then, peaches. Oh, just canned bushels of peaches and pears. And
so you put up 700 quarts
this
one
year
summer?
Specifically that I can remember. I had 700 and some quarts of fruit and vegetables, string beans, you know, corn, tomatoes.
That must be some kind of a record, Mrs. Marsh. That's a lot.
Well, I think it was for me. I don't remember ever canning that much before or since, and
did
of course
you,
not since, because we have freezers.
Did you have time to do anything else?
Well,
did you just can constantly?
You know, it was just a summer project when the garden was growing and the peaches and the pears were in. And then my sister and Ole Ann had several plum trees in her backyard. And I'd go to Ole Ann and pick plums every year and can a lot of plums. And so it, what with keeping up the home and, you know, six children and baking. And I never did bake bread, but I also used to make an awful lot of rolls. I think about those and still don't get out and bake any. So it's been, you know, just a busy life. And then, of course, I worked for your mother, and I worked for the Raws 17 years.
When did you go back to work?
Let's see, Isla and Court were still in high school, and I think, I think Isla Fern was about 16. The first time I ever went out to work was at the, in the laundry at the Hotel Facet in Wellsville. It was the first time after all the years I'd been married that I ever went out to work, and I think Isla Fern was around 15. And she's 42 now, so what does that make, 27 years ago?
I'm not real good with my math here. 27 years ago, so.
15 and 27 would be 42.
So that was like in the 50s?
Yes, in the 50s.
And you went to the work at the Hotel Facet?
Yes, and that's the only place that I ever really worked. I worked in the laundry. And that was where I met Mary Biancuzzo, and her name was Scott, Mary Scott, and now she's Mary Cook. And then Lucy used to come in quite often to visit Mary, and so I met Lucy that way, too.
What made you decide to, go to work?
Well, the kids were gone, and, well, for about, let me see how many years, we had foster children, too.
Oh, did you?
Yes. Oh, dear, I think 5 or 6 years we had foster children.
When did you start taking the foster children?
Well, I don't think Isla was more than... Because they, the last two foster children didn't leave our home until Isla Fern graduated from high school. She was 17 the year she graduated, because she graduated in June, and she was 17 in October.
I see.
And So that would be what? 25, mm-hmm. about 25 years ago, mm-hmm. that the last foster children. And I think we had off and on for about 5 or 6 years mm-hmm. that we had foster children.
How did you get involved with taking the foster children?
There was a family in our area just right down the road from us in Duffy Hollow, a man, his name was Bill Adams. Mm-hmm. And of course he and Jim had grown up together. Mm-hmm. They were born right in the same area. And his wife walked out on him and left him with 3 kids. I didn't blame uh-huh. her uh-huh. for walking out. But uh-huh. then they had put those children, he of course had to get in touch with they lived on social services, welfare, we called it back in those days. Uh-huh. And he had, the children had been put in a home on Pingree Hill out of Andover. Mm-hmm. And it was just a terrible place. Mm. So I was in church when it happened. It was on a Sunday, mm-hmm. and I had gone to church for the evening service, and he had come and asked Jim if he would take, if we would take the daughter, Peggy, and the younger boy, and his name was Joe. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what they did with Francis. We eventually had him. Mm-hmm. Apparently they left him right there for the time being, or else he took him home with him, one or the other. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it was against the law or something to take them out of a foster home without... the lady's name was Richardson, that worked through the uh-huh. courthouse here. Uh-huh. And she eventually came to our home to see if we would take them in. Mm-hmm. And we did. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they paid, I think it was $75 a month a child back in those
days.
Per child? Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then we had a boy by the name of David Bogle. We had Francis and Peggy and Joe Adams. Yeah, they were the only ones that we had. Mm-hmm. And it was all through this Mrs. Richardson
under
the county services here mm-hmm. in Belmont.
So you took in foster children then?
Yes.
For a time.
And Peggy and Joe were with us right through the 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And then when Isla graduated from high school, she was the last of the kids. Mm-hmm. And I was already worked off and on at the laundry at Hotel Fassa. Mm-hmm. And so I called Mrs. Richardson and asked her if she'd find a place for Peggy and Joe. We weren't getting along with Joe. Couldn't be trusted out of our sight.
Oh,
Peggy
yeah.
was a lovely girl, and mm-hmm. is to this day. Mm-hmm. And so then the Kaisers took them.
I went to school with Peggy and Joe. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then, of course, Joe was taken out of the Kaiser's home and put in that industrial school at Industry mm-hmm. New York because
yes.
even the Kaisers couldn't trust him. Mm-hmm. And then Peggy went from their home to Syracuse. She went into nurse's training, mm-hmm. but didn't stay only a year in that.
I see.
And then she went to work for the telephone company and was married in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And they still come, they live in Florida, she and her husband, and they have 4 boys.
Oh.
But they come back every other year or so
uh-huh.
and visit the Kaisers, and they were here last summer.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Very fine family.
Yeah. That's
and
nice.
Joe is married, mm-hmm. and Peggy says behaving himself very well, has 4 or 5 children, too.
Oh, good. Good. So it worked out all right.
It worked out eventually, yes.
Yeah.
Joe went into the Navy mm-hmm. After he left the school there in Industry, New York, and mm-hmm. he went into the Navy.
Yeah.
And it's turned out fairly decent. But Peggy's a very fine woman.
Uh-huh. Was your husband primarily farming up in Duffy Hollow, in, you know, after you'd been up there a while?
No, not primarily farming. He was a driller in the oil fields.
He continued
yes,
to do the drilling.
To drill. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And then if the drilling was slack, why, he worked for lumber as a carpenter. Mm-hmm. And then when he was called to the refinery, he still did a lot of carpenter work on the side after he went to work at the refinery.
Mm-hmm. Was it at Sinclair that he
yes,
worked?
Yes, Sinclair Refinery. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have heard people say that there was never a depression in Wellsville, that they never felt the effects of the mm-hmm. depression because Sinclair opened up, I believe, in 1929 and immediately started hiring
yes.
Large numbers of people.
Yes. Well, I often think back, Jackie, on the depression, and actually there in Duke Center, even though it was right in the pit of the depression.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had work. We were poor. We were poor people.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't, I don't remember even knowing there was a depression. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mom and Dad talked about it, but I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, after Jim and I were married, he had fairly steady work in the oil fields.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reason we moved to Wellsville, up Duffy Hollow, and his dad gave us this home that we lived in,
mm-hmm.
The oil fields had slacked off,
mm-hmm.
and he was out of work, so we moved into this house there in Duffy Hollow. Mm-hmm. And then he worked for the farmers, and then, you know, like I say, mm-hmm. off and on would get called back to the oil fields, yeah. and away he'd go.
And away
he'd
go.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, he worked in the oil fields a number of years, too, after we moved back,
mm-hmm.
and were there the 21 years.
Mm-hmm. He still continued working
in the oil fields. Yeah. And then after he got the job at the refinery, he never went back mm-hmm. as a driller in the oil fields.
When did he start at the refinery? Do you remember?
Oh, dear. How many years have they been gone?
They've been gone since about 1958.
58. Mm-hmm. Now, what did you ask me?
How long he worked, when he started working at the refinery?
58. Well, he was out of the refinery a year and a half before they actually closed because mm-hmm. the men with more... what do you call
it? Seniority.
Seniority helped close it off.
Right, right.
So, if they left in 58, that would have been what, about, I would say 55, 56.
That he left the refinery.
That he was out of work with the refinery. Mm-hmm. And then he became a full-time carpenter.
I see.
Uh-huh. Self-employed, uh-huh. full-time carpenter.
Uh-huh. Do you know when he started at the refinery?
Oh dear, if they closed in 58 and he had been there 19 years, what would that be?
About 1941.
Well, yes, because Eilfern was born in 40.
Mm-hmm.
And just about 41.
He started working at the refinery about mm-hmm. 41.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he worked there a good long time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not nearly as long as some men had been there mm-hmm. around 30 years when mm-hmm. they closed.
Mm-hmm. You were sort of back and forth between different towns during the Depression. Did you notice particularly whether the Depression affected certain areas harder than it did others? I mean, was it really difficult on the farmers in Duffy Hollow, but not so hard on the people in the oil fields? Or?
Well, we, of course, didn't really have a farm. We only mm-hmm. owned 25 acres,
right.
and most mm-hmm. of it was up back on a hill,
mm-hmm.
way up on a hill. But it was good pasture land.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Jim did farm other areas
mm-hmm.
To raise hay and oats and things like
right.
that.
Right.
He rented different pieces of land from people just down on the main road
mm-hmm.
there in Elm Valley. Oh, I can't really remember. You know, like I say, we didn't have that much anyway. We had food on the table and clothing on our backs
mm-hmm.
and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember that the Depression ever bothered us that much.
I see.
I know that when Jim would be out of work and would work for the farmers there,
mm-hmm.
the Duffy boys especially, owned a very large farm,
mm-hmm.
He earned a dollar a day.
A dollar a day.
And they would give him his dinner.
Mm-hmm.
He earned
mm-hmm.
the dollar a day and his dinner.
Mm-hmm.
But it kept us going, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. But even during the Depression, he was able to pick up work.
Yes, yes,
know,
farm
fairly
work
regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes, farm work especially.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, his mother and dad were alive in those days and lived, as I told you,
mm-hmm.
the, they call it Snyder Road now. And I'm sure he did a lot of work for his dad, and without a doubt I know they gave us milk and eggs and butter,
mm-hmm.
and occasionally, if we didn't have chickens, they'd give us some chickens.
Chickens. Mm-hmm.
And I suppose his dad paid him probably a dollar a day plus his noon meal.
Mm-hmm.
He'd always eat with them his noon meal.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So you managed okay.
Oh yes, we managed.
Uh-huh. Better probably than someone in the city who
oh, yes,
wouldn't have had
I'm
the
sure,
opportunities
much better.
To,
uh-huh.
to do
yes.
that. Yeah.
Yes, because
mm-hmm.
we had land for our own garden
right.
and so forth. And
mm-hmm.
like I say, raised the chickens. And I suppose we always had a pig. I can't
mm-hmm.
remember but what mm-hmm. we did.
Uh-huh. Did you ever sell eggs? Or?
Don't remember that we sold eggs, but we sold a lot of butter.
You sold a lot of butter?
Sold a lot
uh-huh.
of butter.
Did you help make the butter?
Oh, I made it.
Oh, you made
all
the butter.
The butter. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Where would you sell it?
Well, these Duffies, there were four men and Catherine in the... And none of them ever married.
Uh-huh.
They were bachelors, and Catherine was a maiden lady.
Uh-huh.
And they bought a lot of butter. And then a man in town that Jim worked with from the refinery, I was going to tell you his name right off, Dan Sybil.
Mm-hmm.
They bought butter from us, too.
Right I see. Long. So you had sort of regular customers.
Yes, for our butter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember how much you charged for it?
It was 50 cents a pound.
50 cents a pound.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We had a separator,
mm-hmm.
and Jim, of course, Well, I suppose Bob helped with the milking after he got old enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim would separate the milk and, you know, we had the cream. And and then, of course, I let it sour. Ours was always sour cream butter.
Oh.
It wasn't the sweet cream like we buy nowadays.
Uh-huh.
It was real butter.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Yeah. How long would it take you to make the butter? Did you have a churn?
Yes, I had a churn. Mm-hmm. And, well, just the old dasher type. And then eventually, after we didn't have so many cows and weren't selling butter, we had the electric, just a small glass electric churn.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And, but back when we had the big churn, we used to have to set it down in our spring across the road to get the cream cold enough to churn. And you have to have cold cream.
It has to be cold.
Yes, otherwise it doesn't separate from the buttermilk well.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I've never made butter, and it always looks like so much work, you know, that up and down stuff.
It wasn't. Know. It was just a chore that had to be done.
Something that had to be done.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember how many pounds of butter you'd make in a week?
Or? Oh, I don't suppose more than six. Mm-hmm. Maybe some weeks eight. I can't remember really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it wasn't a real time-consuming task?
No, it wasn't.
I see. That's interesting. Did you ever try to sell the butter like in Wellsville or Andover?
No.
Or?
No.
Just to your regular customers?
Just to people that bought from us.
Uh-huh.
Jim's mother had a regular line of customers. She sold butter and eggs and buttermilk and vegetables and berries in season.
Mm-hmm.
She was a terrific worker. And plus that, she was a seamstress. She made... There were three boys and six girls, because he had been married before and had a daughter.
I see.
So there were nine children, and she did the sewing. In fact, she even made the trousers and heavy coats, you know, for the boys in the winter. And So she was, in fact, my mother had to work hard, but Grandmother Marsh worked much harder.
So she made clothes for all the family, plus sewing stuff.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Yeah. Wow, that is
amazing. She knew everybody and their brother, Grandmother Marsh.
I bet they
because
did.
Because they had the horse and buggy.
Uh-huh.
And then toward the latter years of their lives that they were able to do things like that, the son Court had a car.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd come home weekends. He worked in the oil fields, too. In fact, he was killed in the Knapp's Creek area.
Oh.
Fell from at the top of a drilling rig.
Oh, dear.
And broke his neck.
Mm.
It was in the wintertime, and the rungs were icy, and the ropes were icy. And, and they never really knew what happened. He was a tool dresser, and the driller, some way, started up the engines and jarred him on the ladder and killed him.
Was the work in the oil fields considered dangerous for the most
part?
Well,
the drilling back in those days, I suppose, was, you know.
I mean, I've read about a lot of fires and, you know,
because
that kind of thing.
Because if the man that came to shoot the well didn't know just what he was doing, there was, extreme danger from glycerin back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And even just driving the glycerin wagon or truck, you know, into the fields back in those days to hit a bump or something.
Yeah.
In fact, men were blown up just getting the glycerin into the fields to shoot the well.
Wow.
Now, I have no idea what they do nowadays when they drill a well in and it's ready to, you know, be taken care of. I don't know even what they call it.
I don't either.
Back
I
in those days, it was called shooting the well.
Shooting the well, Did it ever make you nervous that your dad worked in the fields and
your husband? Well, it did in a way, because Dad had to haul stems. Back in those days, the stems had to be hauled clear to Bradford to have them sharpened. Every so often they had to be. And, of course, he would be around, you know, the wells, too, when they were shooting and like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It just seemed, I suppose, it was a routine in our lives. And I don't remember that we worried. I know we'd get concerned if Dad didn't come home, you know, by a certain time at night. And especially if he'd been to Bradford with a stem, it would make a long... In fact, sometimes he had to stay overnight.
I see.
And it would make a long, long day for him.
Uh-huh.
With a heavy work team of horses, you know, hauling that stem into Bradford.
Yeah.
But I guess it was routine.
You just sort of learned to live with it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Were you near the coal mining country at all in Pennsylvania?
No.
That's further south, I guess.
That's more south.
Yeah.
Catanning and places like
right,
that.
Right, yeah, further south of where you were. Yeah.
Yes.
So then you went back to work at the Facet Hotel in Wellsville.
That's the only work that I ever really did outside of housework. Well, outside of the, you know, when I was a girl, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, then I, the See, Joe and Roberta Muma owned the Facet Hotel, and they sold it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the business just went flat on its face. It was a Facet Hotel for a few years after that, but Mary could keep what work that needed to be done up, because their business went so bad.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, it just went from bad to worse.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked for Joe and Roberta Muma.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what year it was when you went back to work?
Well, if Isla was 15 and she's 42, what did I tell you? That's 27 years.
You know, you mentioned she was born in 1940, so that would have been, she was 15, it'd been 1955.
Yeah, I went to work. Mm-hmm. And then I went to work for the Ross, and then from there, well, I worked for them, and I worked for the Burton Dailies on Riverside Drive, because Mr. Raw and Burton Daly were both engineers at Preheater at that time.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
And so they, of course, knew each other, and Mrs. Daly was expecting their second child and needed help in the home, so I went to work there through Mr. Raw telling Burton what a good worker I was. And then I worked for the Lou Dailies on the Bolivar Road. They were Burton's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And then we left Wellsville. We had bought the mobile home, and we moved up to Lake Lodge. And we lived there 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I continued the work for the Ross because it was much closer than Duffy Hollow had been to Jericho Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we came here, I worked for your mother and worked for the Ross too. At the, you know, the same week, I'd go both places. And then I had to leave your mother's and went to Elm Valley babysitting for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now Debbie's 17 years old and Davy's 19.
Oh, my.
Davy's in college in, at AgTech in Elfrid.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just...
retired.
Well, no. I then, after Debbie was in school, I went to just doing housework for our son and his wife, Bob and Laura Jean Marsh. And now I still work Friday mornings for 2.5 hours for Laura.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, my heavens.
After, when they left the big house on Corbin Hill and moved into their smaller home, which is right down the Bosey's Road, Laura Jean teaches, you know, at Bosey's. Well, Bob does too this year. Bob got a teaching job at Bosey's. She wished he could have it for time to come, but time will tell by fall whether he'll have it again or not. But then the first year they lived in the brand new house, she did her own work, and now this is the third year I've been down there again. But it only where it on Corbin Hill it took me 4 hours to go through the house. Down here it takes me 2 and 2.5.
Much smaller.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. But in the summer I'm very busy because I start picking strawberries at Arkport the minute they're ready. And now, of course, Ed Volkmar, you know, has such a beautiful patch up the main road. But I will go to Arkport a time or two because I love their fields over there.
Do you?
The berries are really something. And then, of course, Jim has this huge garden out back. And I do corn and loads of pickles, and I don't do so many tomatoes. Our son, Court, is the head computer man for Ragu spaghetti sauce.
Oh, really?
Which is owned by Chesboro Ponds. And so he brings Ragu whenever he can buy a case of it. So I don't have to can
so
tomatoes
to
so
tomatoes.
Much anymore. But in summertime, it's very busy, very busy. And I've started my house cleaning. I've cleaned closets, and I got the kitchen cupboards cleaned yesterday. And then as soon as the weather breaks, so I can, I'll start getting out bedding and, you know, tearing the rooms to pieces and getting these done. Last year, I can't remember how come Dick Middaw had to come to the door, but I was cleaning the living room. Of course, the drapes were down and the curtains were down and the furniture all comes right into the middle of the room. So I can clean the edges. And he said, oh, it looks like you're cleaning house. I said, I sure am. But I guess that brings us up pretty much to date. But I had a grand time in Florida. You know, I never had flown before.
Oh, really? This
was your
first
time flying? It was my first flight. And the kids just, our daughter and son-in-law in New Jersey, Isla, the youngest one, bought my plane ticket round trip.
Oh, that was nice.
And my youngest sister was going. Her husband had died in September, but she'd been in Florida several times anyway. George was always willing she should go. But then he had died in September with leukemia. He was only six weeks. He was dead.
Wow.
And so Jeanette was going, and she was bound I'd go, and I had given up going. And then the kids came up from New Jersey and for Thanksgiving. And after we'd had our dinner, we were still at the table, and Isla brought this shoebox.
Mm-hmm.
It was all wrapped. Surprise, it said on it. So I opened it up, and there was nothing there but the tissue paper. And I said, oh, surprise.
Nothing here.
But then I moved the tissue paper, and there in the bottom was the flight envelope.
Oh, wasn't that nice?
And then the other kids gave me money.
Wasn't that nice?
Gave me money.
Uh-huh.
Go.
Yeah, that's great.
So I had a grand time. It was really something. Excuse me, I'm going to have to get up.
Sure.
Everybody talks about Florida weather.
Yeah.
And it was, I was there 3 weeks in January, and it was just lovely.
Oh, that's good.
It rained a day or two, but then it would clear right off.
Mm-hmm.
But then I came home the first day of February,
mm-hmm.
and then they started having those terrible storms.
Storms, oh, so you timed
so
it well.
So I was glad I was
yeah.
back home.
Yeah.
And my younger sister didn't come home till the 4th of March.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so she was there doing so many of those terrific storms.
Yeah.
So I really was there the best part.
You certainly were.
So
yeah.
it was lovely.
Yeah.
That's so,
mm-hmm. when you started working at the Facet, do you remember what your salary was?
Yeah, I believe it was $1.25 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was charging for housework in those days, too, $1.25 an hour.
Uh-huh. And you did laundry at the Facet?
Yes.
You
yes.
worked right there? And
oh,
did.
Yes. I worked right there with, of course, Mary taught me what I had to learn mm-hmm. about. The huge washing machine, and it was a huge dryer, and
mm-hmm.
then the great big mangle with the sheets and everything except mm-hmm. the towels, the bath towels and washcloths, everything had to go through. But the kitchen towels didn't. The kitchen mm-hmm. dish towels didn't mm-hmm. go through the dryer or the mangle.
Mm-hmm.
They went through the dryer, but not the mangle.
I see. So you washed and ironed
yes,
everything.
Yes, had to
there.
Learn. It was the linen tablecloths especially mm-hmm. you had to be very fussy about.
I'm sure.
And they used plenty of them in the days that Joe and Roberta were there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So it was a busy place. It was an 8 hour, you worked 8 hours just as steady as you could
mm-hmm.
handle laundry
mm-hmm.
and get it washed and dried and through the mangle and folded, you know, and mm-hmm. all that.
So it was it 8 hours a day every day? Was it full-time?
No, it
work?
Wasn't full-time. It was mm-hmm. just when Mary needed extra help,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise she handled it for the 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, she had some days off, a day or two. I can't mm-hmm. remember just what.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she always had Sunday. It wasn't open. The laundry wasn't open on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And then for conventions and like that, she had to have extra help because of all the bedding and
mm-hmm.
so forth.
Was she like in charge of laundry?
Yes, she was in charge of the laundry.
Uh-huh. So you sort of helped
had
her
been,
out.
Yes.
I see.
Mary had been in charge of the laundry for I don't know how many years.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I had never known her or Lucy either until
right.
I went to work at the
yeah.
hotel.
Yeah. Was it just the two of you that worked?
Yes. While I was there, there was no... I don't remember... can't remember whether Mary had had someone before they hired me or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't worked out in so many years, and the ad was in the Wellsville paper.
I see.
And, you know, Court and, Court and Isla were Irma's, Court's wife.
Uh-huh.
Isla and Court were 15 and 17, and mm-hmm. I thought, well, goodness, they were such help around the house, too, that I might just as well. So I went and applied for that job, never expecting to get it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the woman's name that worked in the, at the window, you know, where people went to register
oh,
to
right.
the hotel.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Her name was Teresa Warley.
Mm-hmm.
They lived up South Main Street in Wellsville. And, of course, I had known Teresa before because my sister knew her. My sister Isla knew
mm-hmm.
Teresa. And the mm-hmm. Klein girls. I don't know whether you ever knew of the Klein girls from South Broad Street or not.
Oh, school. Yes, Helena and...
And Helena,
oh,
and
yes.
Teresa, and Rose,
yes.
and...
Yes.
And mm-hmm. them.
As a matter of fact, I interviewed Helena.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
She's a little, tiny, elderly woman
yes.
now, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Lovely person, and mm-hmm. the last of those girls.
Yes, the last
uh-huh.
one.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, through the Klein girls and my sister Isla lived right side by side on South Broad
oh,
Street.
See.
Mm-hmm. And so I knew Teresa because she was a friend of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And so she interviewed me that day that I went to the hotel to apply for the job. And a couple of days later, she called me. And, of course, she had to talk to... I can't remember. It seems though Joe came into the office, too,
mm-hmm.
while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of days later, the phone rang, and I had the job.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't work only 6 weeks because then we moved to Ag Tech. I see.
So you only worked there for
about six weeks.
Uh-huh. How did you like working there?
Well, it was, I used to get tired.
I bet.
That was back when this hip was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had one of those corns, you know, right on the sole of my foot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I used to just about die before that 8 hours
imagine,
was up.
Yes.
But then I finally, Dr. Comstock took care of the foot.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, of course, that was after we had moved, though. I had this hip done the first time after we had moved up at the lake,
mm-hmm.
to the lodge up at mm-hmm. the lake there. And then I've had this one done again since then, and then the left one done, too.
Wow, yeah.
So, in my lifetime, I've been in the hospital 13 times.
My goodness.
6 children and 7 surgeries, and 6 of them were major surgeries.
6 of them were major
mm-hmm.
ones.
Mm-hmm. 3 hips and 2 abdominal, and then I, 3 years ago, last fall, had a cystocele and rectocele done.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And that's the last time I've been in the hospital, hoping I don't have to go back.
For a
although
while.
This hip is giving me some problems, I don't know.
Is it?
Yeah. But I would be a complete cripple in a wheelchair if it hadn't been for the hip surgeries
mm-hmm.
that I've had done.
Mm-hmm.
One I had done in Jones, and the other two I've had done in Olean.
In Olean.
With an up-to-date orthopedic surgeon.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yes. In fact, a lot of people from Belmont area have been. Go to the same orthopedic surgeon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like him pretty much.
Good. That's good. Mm-hmm. How did your family feel about you going back to work?
They didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they thought, well, they wanted to work outside the home. And it wasn't that steady. You know,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't gone like 5 days a week along. It was just whenever
mm-hmm.
Mary needed help in the laundry that
mm-hmm.
I would work.
So it was okay.
Yes, and then by the time, of course, we lived up at the lake, the kids were all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Isle Fern was in a practical Bible training school in
mm-hmm.
Johnson City. And Court had already gone to, he went to RBI in Rochester
mm-hmm.
and was working in Rochester. So, you know, outside of their coming back to visit, why,
mm-hmm.
Jim and I were alone.
Uh-huh, and he didn't mind you
going
out,
no.
going out to work.
No, because it gave me extra spending money and
mm-hmm.
could buy a lot of my own things.
Mm-hmm.
It helped out.
Mm-hmm. I see. Why did you move from Duffy Hollow?
Well, let me see. He'd been out of work at the refinery for 3 years. Oh, we had been in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And he was bound we were going to Arizona to live. We took a man by the name of Jake Trimmer to Arizona one
mm-hmm.
winter, 22 years ago, in
mm-hmm.
January. We took this man to Arizona. He was quite an elderly man and didn't want to, you know, go by bus or something. So Jim had been doing work on the side for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he knew Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And so he hired Jim to take him to Arizona 22 years ago, last January. And, of course, I went along. It was
uh-huh.
part of the deal. I wasn't going to stay in Duffy Hollow all alone. And we got out there, and we just loved it in Tucson. We went to Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And he made up his mind we were going to Tucson to live. So we put our house on the market, and came back in January and put the house on the market. And by March, it was sold.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took us, you know, 2 or 3 months to get everything straightened up.
Right.
And we moved out of Duffy Hollow on the 17th day of June, but we didn't ever go to Arizona.
I see.
We bought, the people that bought our home in Duffy Hollow owned this mobile home. So to buy our home, they had to sell the mobile home, so we
mm-hmm.
bought it.
Uh-huh.
And then we lived in the trailer park there, Gardner's Trailer Park on
mm-hmm.
Railroad Avenue for 2.5 months
uh-huh.
from June, and well, maybe it was longer, from June to October anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then by my working at the Ross, of course, they knew Jim too.
Mm-hmm.
And this opening came for someone to live right there at the on the property where the lodge is. And they needed an overseer.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mr. Ross spoke to me about it one day when I went to work, and he said, you and Jim come up and we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they set an evening and we went up and they hired Jim and we stayed there 2.5 years.
And they took care of the trip to Arizona.
Yes, yes, it took care of Arizona. And of course we had to have the trailer, the mobile home moved because we moved
mm-hmm.
to our own mobile home. And then when we came here 19 years ago, the 8th day of May,
mm-hmm.
We had a man from Olean come and move the mobile home. And he had built my utility room.
Mm-hmm.
While we lived at the lodge, he had built that utility room on.
Oh.
So our son-in-law, Don Brown, worked for the conservation department,
mm-hmm.
and he and Bill Mellenbacher came up with that great flatbed that the conservation nice. Department and the huge mm-hmm. truck,
mm-hmm.
and moved that room
oh my
right
goodness.
Out of the backyard here. Of course, there was no yard. This was just pasture land when uh-huh. we bought it and moved in here.
Uh-huh.
The Buttons owned it.
Yes, right.
Paul and, yeah. and Pat, or Diana. Pat's the daughter.
Yeah.
And then we had everything graded and mm-hmm. so forth.
Mm-hmm. I see. How did you get the job doing the house cleaning with the Rose?
Oh, dear, how did I? Honestly, you can't, I can't remember. Because I didn't know the Rose and never even mm-hmm. heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
How did I get that job? You know, I believe I went to work for the Burton Dailies first. I did.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lady in Wellsville by the name of Alice Wood, a very good friend of mine. She lives over in Elman now. She's getting along in years, too, 80-some.
Mm-hmm.
Alice had worked for the Lou Dailies on the Bolivar Road, Burton's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And she and her husband were moving over to East Valley out of Elford.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Elford-Elmond area there. And Mrs. Daly wanted somebody to work for her, and then of course the younger Mrs. Daly was expecting. Mm-hmm. Well, Alice told the Lou Dalys about me, that I would probably be willing to work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I went to work for the younger Dalys first.
Oh.
And on the Riverside Drive there. And then Burton Daly and Mr. Raw. See, Mrs. Raw taught, she was a kindergarten teacher in Alfred Elman
mm-hmm.
for 25 years until she retired.
Mm-hmm.
And she needed help in the home. They had the three children in school mm-hmm. back in those days. And so Burton told Roger Raw about me. That's how I got the,
mm-hmm.
they set up a time for me to come and talk to them. And it was a Thursday, and the very next day I went to work for them.
I see.
And worked, oh, it got so after the kids were gone, I sometimes didn't go, and especially when they were on vacation, it might be a month at a time, because mm-hmm. they'd be gone, you know, mm-hmm. for a month or so. They had their own old trailer that they hauled around to camp in and so mm-hmm. forth. They loved to go camping. But for the years that the three kids were in school, I went every week, every Friday, mm-hmm. week in and week out. Mm-hmm. And then they sold the home. In fact, young George Harris, do you know the George Harrises
yes,
on
yes.
North Main? Very wealthy people.
Yes.
They mm-hmm. bought the Ross home there, and they moved to Canada. But then mm-hmm. they had to be come back to the United States because they weren't citizens, you see.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
they got tired of that, and after a while they sold their home in Canada, and now they live in Alabama.
Oh.
They live okay. in Dadeville, mm-hmm. Alabama, which is about 50 to 75 miles north of Montgomery.
I see. Mm-hmm. It's quite a switch from Canada yes. to Alabama. Yeah.
But they love it down there. They it's have a good. Beautiful home. Joe mm-hmm. sends me pictures along.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. if they're in this area, in fact, they were in this area in May, but I just didn't answer my telephone when she'd call. I wasn't here, or it was either out in the utility room washing mm-hmm. or something and didn't hear the phone.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't get to see them last night.
Uh-huh. So you started doing housework through a friend of yours, actually. She sort of
yes, she
got you
involved
uh-huh. in it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the type of work that you wanted to do, or would you have preferred to have done work doing something else?
You see, by quitting high school and not getting my diploma, I mm-hmm. was in commercial,
mm-hmm.
and I have certificates, and I... And our shadow box out there on the wall have the pin that I earned in the commercial club
mm-hmm.
for, and I intended to be a secretary. And mm-hmm. then James came along. We'd been going together for a year or so,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted to get married. You see, mm-hmm. he's 8 years older than I am.
I see.
So I quit high school and got married.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've always been sorry that I didn't finish
high school.
But mm-hmm. back in those days, a girl that had gotten married wasn't allowed to go to school.
Oh,
you
I
had
see.
To quit.
Uh-huh.
It's different now. You know, mm-hmm. you can go, if you're just like this, you can go to, yeah. still go to high school.
Right.
But
right.
back in those days, just by getting married, I couldn't go to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been sorry that I didn't go back and finish, or, you know, take some courses and finish.
Mm-hmm.
But I fully intended to be a stenographer, secretary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think back at that time, there were even some restrictions on married women even working, like teaching in the high schools. Was that true when you were in school? Do you remember?
do? You know, I can't remember. I was thinking I was a member of another society that in the high school there. It was called the GLF,
mm-hmm.
a girls' society. And I got to thinking, and you know, I can't remember whether any of those ladies were married or not.
Mm-hmm.
I know the music teacher was a maiden lady, and the woman that was the head of this girls' society, she was a maiden lady.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember about my other teachers, whether they were misses or not.
Right. There were some, during the 20s and 30s, and probably even beforehand, there were some very stringent rules that married women could not teach.
Uh-huh.
And certain businesses would not allow married women to work, like the telephone company would not allow married women to work. At least in New York State, there were some restrictions against that and everything. So I was just curious if you remember.
Yes. I just really can't remember. Mm-hmm. But only the ones that I can remember of my teachers were maiden ladies.
Mm-hmm.
They were Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Dana and Miss this and Miss Latin.
Yeah. Do you remember any married women working, either when you were living in Pennsylvania, or did you know married women who worked when you were up in Duffy Hollow? Or?
Oh, dear. Can't. I'm trying to look back at the teachers the kids had in Andover.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, two of the kids had gone to school in Pennsylvania. In fact, Barbara went to school in Knapp's Creek. She went into first grade back in those days. David was the first one of our six,
mm-hmm.
and he was the fourth one of our six. He was number four
mm-hmm.
that ever went to kindergarten. Barbara, Bob, and Joanne didn't go to kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even have such a thing.
Right.
So I'm trying to remember. Seems a. Oh, I know their English teacher, though, was a Mrs. McFadden.
Mm-hmm.
And John McFadden's wife from Wellsville.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there were married women
mm-hmm.
by the time my kids were in high school,
mm-hmm.
or going to even to grade school, because I, of course, went the whole 12 years to Andover.
Right.
Right from Duffy Hollow on. Although we lived in Wellsville, our kids went to Andover to school.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
paid our school taxes in Andover and our property tax in Wellsville,
yeah,
because
yeah.
it was much more convenient for the Andover bus to come to pick up the kids
than for
the Wellsville to come
yeah.
clear on out, because there was such a long space between the Burdick farm and on up the road
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
there were no children to pick up for Wellsville.
Uh-huh.
So, well, the Burdick kids though went, but they turned around, the Wellsville bus turned around down below.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where the great big swamp is there
right.
in the Elm Valley Road,
right.
just on up there a ways, they turned around
I see.
And
uh-huh.
went back to Wellsville.
Uh-huh.
And then the Andover bus came on down to the Burdick farm uh-huh. and picked up the kids
mm-hmm.
along the road and went back.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When you were growing up in Pennsylvania, though, or when you were younger, do you remember women working at all? Or did you know women who worked?
Well, outside of teachers, I, of course, don't remember anything
mm-hmm.
about the offices.
Mm-hmm.
Duke Center, of course, didn't have... The people that ran the drugstore, the woman worked, they were Mr. and Mrs. The man was the pharmacist, and she was his wife,
mm-hmm.
and she helped, you know, in the drugstore.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a dry goods store, and people by the name of Coast at one time owned that.
Mm-hmm.
And two daughters worked in that. And the one girl was, the older one was married, and then the other one was eventually married, but can't remember whether they got rid of the store. And then this McCready that I was speaking of
right.
that owned the grocery store in Knapp's Creek, she owned the dry goods store, too, for a
mm-hmm.
while there in Duke Center.
Mm-hmm.
So she was married, I know. And then this Irene Coast Closser was married. But for offices, I don't remember
mm-hmm.
outside of Mary Blair. Louie and Mary Blair, they were the ones that ran the telephone company.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And Mary, of course, worked at the switchboard between mm-hmm. raising umpteen mm-hmm. kids.
Sure, right.
But there was an insurance office, I know. But whether that man had a secretary or not, I don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
That man's name was Sullivan, Bill Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. But you were taking commercial courses in school, and you were
yes.
planning to be a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Were you planning to go to work? Had you thought about where you would?
No, really hadn't, because
mm-hmm.
sometimes they would line up jobs for the girls that graduated, you know, with good marks.
Mm-hmm.
And from high school, they would line up work for them. But I suppose I, you know, either Duke Center or Smithport or someplace,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it would have been convenient to or even Eldred. I can't remember at all about that.
Do you know where they used to get the girls' jabs?
No. Of course, Bradford was an oil city, a very wealthy oil city. Yes. And there were many, many offices in Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, many stores. At one time, Bradford was a thriving city. I don't know so much about it anymore. I've been gone 53 years.
I know, and I haven't been to Bradford in years. I don't even know what it's like down there anymore.
I've been back, of course, a few times, especially to the funeral home.
Yeah.
To visit a cousin that had lived there. She lives in California now. But I just don't know that much about Bradford anymore.
Yeah,
but at one time, of course, it was a thriving city.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many wealthy, wealthy people.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the kids were in high school with me. And there again, you could feel the, you know, the uppers and the lowers.
Could you?
Yes.
Was there a real sharp division between people
I think
over there?
We got along well. I mean, they were friendly enough. But, you know, you knew the difference in clothing and so forth from the kids that were from the wealthy oil families. And,
I see.
And we kids from Duke Center, except Bill Groh. Well, there was a family by the name of Schaff, too, and their girls went to Bradford High School.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they were oil people.
Mm-hmm.
I remember many times my feelings being hurt when I was a girl there in Duke Center because the Schaff girls had the parties. And lots of times I didn't get invited. Sometimes I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into this honor society, this girls' council thing in Bradford, and the Schaff girls didn't. Well, from then on, there was a sharp division. But you knew the difference between the Groves and the Schaffs and, you know, the kids in high school in Bradford. Too.
But you went to high school in Bradford?
Yes. In fact, I went to high school with the Piper kids, Bill Piper, that owned the Piper Cubs in the... Piper, you know, the Piper airplane plant. It's ran now, of course, by the Suns, but I knew the older Pipers and the kids. There were three Piper kids in school when I was there.
So there was big money in Bradford
Big money in Bradford. I was trying to think of some of the names. But every once in a while you see this, she's not sort of a flamingo dancer, but that woman in Bradford, there's been a lot of scandal about her. She married this wealthy oil man when he was elderly. And
I can't think
of her name.
Oh, I can't either, but anyway, I know who you mean.
He was one of the very wealthy oil men in Bradford. And he was, I guess, one foot on a banana peel and the other in the grave when she married him. so many things I look back now. So many of the people in Duke Center are dead and gone. And I read in the Olean paper, you know, this one and that from Duke Center been admitted to the hospital, or there's news items, and no one I've ever heard of.
It changes.
And, you know, in 53 years, like, my mother would be 100 and my dad 99.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, there were people their ages, too, and they would be the same age now if they had lived.
That's true. It's true even here in Belmont. I mean, I don't know half the people in town anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been gone just long enough, I guess, that even though I'm back all the time, I just don't know.
Well, you just aren't involved in that much in Belmont anymore, and the kids that you knew in high school are all gone, married.
Well, actually, a lot of them are still here.
Well,
that's what's interesting about it.
Yes.
A lot of them are still here.
Yes, I suppose.
You know, but the older people that I remember being here when I was growing up and stuff, a lot of them, of course, have died, or they've moved out, or, you know, whatever.
Well, through the church, too, down here, you would know, you know, like the Keenans and so many of those people.
Yeah.
See, one of my nieces in Olean is married to a Keenan.
Oh,
and his father was James, Jim Keenan.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was one of the younger ones from Mary, who had died just recently.
Right, yeah.
So I knew Jim way back in Duke Center. He came to Duke Center to work in the oil fields.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he married a Swab girl. And so many of these people, we called them down-homers.
Mm-hmm.
They had come from O'Clarion County in Pennsylvania to work in the oil fields, and they were always going back down home.
Oh,
so we
I
called
see.
Them down homers. Where Jim Keenan, of course, was right from the Belmont area. The Keenans were, I believe, originally too, weren't they?
I believe they originally up in the Irish settlement.
But so many of the people that Like this girl that Jim married, Helen Schwab, they mm-hmm. were down homers. They were from the Pennsylvania, Clarion County area.
But when you started doing the housework, you would have preferred to have, would you have preferred to have been doing something
else?
Well,
I don't remember that I would have, Jackie, because you see, I didn't finish my education.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you raise six kids, you're pretty well shot as far as shorthand and typing are concerned.
That's
with
true.
Not ever having opportunity mm-hmm. to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember that I cared one way or another. I just wanted mm-hmm. to go out to work, and
mm-hmm.
it gave me something to do and a little money coming in. And
mm-hmm.
So I guess I was perfectly happy.
Yeah. Did you think at all about trying to find a different type of job, like working in a store maybe or something,
no.
you know, clerking in a store
no.
or something
no,
like
never.
That?
Yeah.
Didn't.
I don't know. I guess I just, in fact, like I was telling you, I never expected to get this job at the laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I didn't have enough self-assurance or something to
mm-hmm.
feel, you know, that I could apply at a store when there'd be an ad in the paper.
I see.
No,
mm-hmm.
I guess I was just contented to do what I've always done.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you started out charging $1.25 an hour when you started doing
yes,
the housework.
Yes, when I went to work at
uh-huh.
the laundromat, or the laundry
uh-huh.
in the hotel, and the housework $1.25 an hour.
Uh-huh. Did you set the price for the housework?
Well, no, I think it was pretty well an established sum that people were paying back in those
mm-hmm.
days,
mm-hmm.
$1.25 an hour.
Mm-hmm. Did you know a lot of other women that were doing housework like that?
Well, I suppose. See, like I was telling you, I've never been any hand to go visiting
mm-hmm.
anybody. And so outside of I was a member of Calvary Baptist Church in Wellsville for a good many years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we closed Calvary Baptist Church because there were just not enough people coming in to keep our bills and pay our pastor.
Yeah.
And then, of course, by that time we had moved to Elford,
mm-hmm.
although I was still driving back to Wellsville to church. And then when we closed Calvary Baptist, then
mm-hmm.
the people that were left at the church there, we all came down here to Belmont to First Baptist.
Oh, I see.
And have been there
mm-hmm.
ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I'm trying to think of the people in the church. Really, that's about the only people I know outside
mm-hmm.
of people that work in the stores where we shop,
uh-huh.
you know, that I actually know.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, a lot of people that I knew did work in stores. And then I suppose there was a number of them that were just housewives and
mm-hmm.
and then maybe working out in homes, too.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ed Lehman's mother up the road, Ed lives up the road here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the way I got acquainted with his mother was she did housework.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she had raised a large family. I think there were eight of those kids, of the Lehman kids.
Mm-hmm.
And through my leaving the dailies on the Bolivar Road, Hazel needed somebody because she worked at Preheater. She
mm-hmm.
was in the office there at Preheater. And she wondered if I knew someone, and I told her about Mrs. Lehman.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so Mrs. Lehman came one day
mm-hmm.
while I was still working there to see what needed to be done.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then she always wondered about the home. She'd call me on the phone and she'd say, "Well, Mrs. Marsh, what did you do?" She said, "There's no dirt. There's nothing to clean." I said, "Well, that's the way Mrs. Daly wants it."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said, "You start right in the upstairs and you go right through just as if there were
uh-huh.
it was dirt to clean, you know."
Uh-huh.
So that way I got acquainted with Eddie Lehman's mother.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. When you started doing the housework, were you pretty much on your own? I mean, were the people you were working for were out at work and they would just...
Well, I was on my own because even though Mrs. Daly, young Mrs. Daly, was at home, she never paid me attention.
Mm-hmm.
I started right in the upstairs. She had told me what to do, you know, and
mm-hmm.
the routine. And she always cleaned her own kitchen. I never touched
I see.
The kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
I don't know why. I just don't know why she preferred doing the kitchen herself, but
mm-hmm.
she did.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it cut down on my time. I was always there 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very lovely home on Riverside Drive,
mm-hmm.
right beside Dr. Gibson's, if you know.
Oh, yes, I know where Dr.
But
Gibson is.
There are the White
yeah.
House with all the red trim.
Oh,
right
I've
in
wondered,
there by
yeah,
Dr.
I've
Gibson.
Wondered who lived there, yeah.
And the McDuffs live in the great big, huge
mm-hmm.
house on the southern side of them, down this way. So, and then Joe Raw, of course, the last 4 years I was there, she was home. She had retired,
mm-hmm.
but she paid no attention to what I was doing
mm-hmm.
because I was cleaned so much better and kept the house so much cleaner than she ever had that
uh-huh.
she didn't
mm-hmm.
care.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always taking organ lessons, and she had her own weaving outfit, and she
uh-huh.
was busy. You know,
so she kept herself
like
busy.
Yeah, so she was
yeah.
busy.
So you were pretty much left on your own to do what you want.
And of course at the dailies, Hazel was at the office and Lou paid no attention. He, of course, had retired from the refinery by that, or that is the refinery was gone.
Yeah.
And he never did work at anything else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so any home that I ever worked in, you know, and then your mother paid no attention. She didn't care what I was doing, just so the work was done.
How long would it usually take you to clean a home?
Well, it was according to the size. I can't remember what did I work for your mother, 3.5 to 4 hours, I think, because I'd start right in your room upstairs.
Right, right.
And if you hadn't been home, you know, right along with, sometimes I didn't even touch your room.
Yeah.
But Ben's room always had to be done, and the bathroom up there,
and
the hall and your mother's room. And I think it was always 3.5 to 4 hours there.
Mm-hmm.
And then always at Ross. In fact, sometimes I worked 5 hours at Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Laura Jean on Corbin Hill when they lived there, 4 hours it took me to go through that big house of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And the dailies, both places were 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so generally speaking, you could do a good size house in about four hours.
4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you do just one house a day, or would you?
But the dailies, I worked both places on a Wednesday.
I see.
They had me on a Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And I would do both her, the younger dailies in the morning and Hazel in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for your mother, it was the only place I worked, and for Laura Jean. And now I'm just too old, you know, to work out much. I don't mind doing Bob's and Jeannie's house because they're family.
Yeah, right.
And start right down in the... Well, in fact, I start out in the garage sweeping the rug that goes into the back door.
And just work your way in.
Yeah, work my way in. Yeah. And they burn wood. They heat... Well, they have electric heat, but they heat with wood because it keeps their electric bill down.
Sure.
Everything else in the house is electric. It's an electric home. But, oh, boy, that wood... They have one of those fire view stoves, and it makes so much dirt and dust, and it just, but I get that all done first, and then I go upstairs, and I can see where I've really cleaned the place. Of course, there are only three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Gary is married, and Gail works in Rochester, and Bobby's a kid in school down here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not so bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
I don't mind that. I go to Bosie's first. She rolls my hair, and then I come up and get my 2.5 hours of work done.
And
then, of course, when vacation wise, she's rolled my hair anyway. I'm going to get a new permanent as soon as she's back in clinic side. See, Bev Layless and Laura Jean Marsh are the two teachers in cosmetology. And they change off from the huge clinic room to the smaller room on the side there.
Oh, I see.
And yet, this week yet, this week, because they've just gone back to school, Jeannie is on in the small room and Bev's on clinic side. The reason I don't like to go when Bev's on clinic side, she is the curl and cut type. And Jeannie knows my hair has to be cut and then curled.
I see.
Because it has to set a lot longer than a lot of people, 20 to 25 minutes it takes for my hair to curl. So I wait till she's back on clinic side. I like Bev. I think she's lovely.
Yeah, she is. She's
I just don't like that curl and then cut stuff.
What made you decide to move to Belmont after you left Elbert?
Well, when we Jim had gone to work for the Houghton Construction. Bob was one of the overseers, what do you call them?
Supervisors
for Houghton Construction. And he was earning so much more. He'd gone to work for Houghton before we ever left the lake and was doing the work up there too. But he was earning so much more for Houghton Construction. And then they had done away with all the rules and regulations. There was no rules. When the day he took the job, or the day they opened the lodge, they had a sheet that full of rules and regulations. See, it's student-owned. It doesn't belong to the state. It doesn't belong to the college. It belongs to the students. And that the kids had to look up or to agree to, you know. Well, we hadn't been there a year when they did away with rules and regulations
and
the terrible parties they had over there. And he was getting so sick of it.
I can imagine,
like I told several students, Jim and I were over there cleaning one morning after one of their big parties on a Friday night, and the beer was all over the floor, and the potato chips were walked in, and the vomit was all over the restrooms. And and he that was against the rules when they first opened. So we stuck it out for 2.5 years, and like I say, he was earning so good money. And we didn't want to go back to the Wellsville area, because by that time I was going to the church down here.
I see.
And so there was just nothing for us in Wellsville. Now David and Carol, of course, and their kids live in Elm Valley, but that was before they had mm-hmm. come from North Syracuse.
Yeah.
And so we talked about where would we live, and he said, well, let's look around Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, go ahead. Whatever you find will be all right with me.
Mm-hmm.
So he already knew Paul Button, and he talked to Paul, mm-hmm. and they sold us this lot here.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been here ever since.
Uh-huh. I see. So you just sort of picked it out of the
hat. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I've always been thankful that this was the side of the road we're on, because the sun sets at
yes.
our back at the bar,
oh,
back
yes.
part of the house.
Yes.
You know, it makes it real nice.
I bet it does.
So yeah. it's been lovely here, and we've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's very pleasant up here.
And, of course, Joanne and Don live just up the road here on Baker Valley, and
mm-hmm.
Bob and Jeannie down the road. And
mm-hmm.
Barbara lives in Horseheads, and Isla in New Jersey, and Court and Irma in Adams Basin out of Rochester.
Oh, uh-huh.
And David and Carol. So we're, you know, not too far.
Not too far
Isla
away
Bob
from
the farthest away.
Yeah.
And they have two children.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. You've pretty much lived in rural areas all your life, then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. We've never been, otherwise mm-hmm. than rural areas, mm-hmm. small communities.
Right. Have you ever thought about moving to the city, or ever even considered it? Or?
Well, one time we considered moving into Olean, and mm-hmm. then we looked and looked at houses and couldn't find anything we could afford, so we mm-hmm. went back to Wellsville, up Duffy Hollow.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And lived right there 21 years that last time.
Mm-hmm. So you've never really thought about moving to Buffalo or Rochester,
a
major city?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
No.
Do you think employment opportunities might have been better for you if you had done that?
Well, not with my lack of education, I don't mm-hmm. think so.
Mm-hmm.
No, but,
so you feel that you did hear what you could have done
yes,
anywhere?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. See, four of our kids went on to school, and Barbara and Joanne didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Barbara has never worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband's with a telephone company there in Elmira and has
oh,
an excellent job.
Mm-hmm.
So she's never been required to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But now Don has been out of work since the last day of December with Worthington.
Oh.
Expects to get called back
mm-hmm.
if things ever pick up.
Mm-hmm.
But Joanne has had to do a lot of housework. And then she cares for older people in their homes, too.
Oh,
in
yeah.
fact, she's working at the Patrick's right down the street here.
Mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm.
So with the two girls not having any further education than high school, why they haven't had opportunity to work out. And
mm-hmm.
So it... I just know I've never really felt badly. I wish that I did have my high school diploma, you know, and that I could have done some office work, but I've never felt badly about it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
With six kids, you just get so busy, you don't have time
sure.
to think of
you don't have
what
time to.
You wish had been.
That's right. That's right, yeah. As a young girl growing up in Duke's Corners, did you ever think about leaving to go to the big city to live? Or?
I don't remember that I did,
mm-hmm.
no.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't remember that I ever... Mm-hmm. even had any desire. My older sister worked in Olean, and of course back in those days we thought Olean was a big place.
Well, it's true. I mean, it is. It's not small by any means, you know.
Yes.
But.
No, so I don't remember ever having any desire to mm-hmm. do anything.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm asking is that I have found in a lot of the things I've been reading has been done about rural life and everything that there's a lot of emphasis placed on people leaving. That they can't, especially mm-hmm. young people, they can't wait to get out
get
and
out.
Get to the
yes.
city and get
mm-hmm.
jobs and everything.
Yes.
And everyone I have talked to, except one person, said that they didn't really think they would have had any more opportunity in the city than they've had uh-huh. right here,
mm-hmm.
which is, I find, kind of interesting, because
yes.
it sort of contradicts what everybody else has said about,
yes,
you know, people leaving.
Get out and get
right,
a big
right.
job someplace
right,
else.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's dull
yes.
and it's this
well,
and
you
that.
See, by being married so young, and then starting our family so soon, too,
mm-hmm.
and having six children in 10 years,
mm-hmm.
well, really, you just don't have time to think
that's true.
Of anything else.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When we first lived in Duffy Hollow, we didn't even have any electric.
Mm.
We burned oil lamps, and we
mm-hmm.
burned wood and coal for
mm.
fuel,
mm-hmm.
and carried water. It wasn't until Isla Fern was born that we even had water in the house.
Oh, and that was 1940. That
yes,
was late.
So that was quite late, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I think she was 3 or 4 years old before electric came up Duffy Hollow.
Oh, my heavens.
So you see,
oh, yeah.
40,
so you were,
42,
yeah.
43, 40, in 1944 before Duffy Hollow ever had electric.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, you get so busy, you just don't,
really?
You know, really
Yeah.
Just if your family is well and happy and clothed and fed, and you've got your hands full. By now, girls have two or three children. They just think they're so busy, they just don't know how they're going to live. It's a whole different ball game today than it was back when I was a girl.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it is.
I think people were far, on the general thing, far more contented back when I was young than they are today. Now, our grandchildren have, our children had nothing compared to what our 16 grandchildren
I'm sure,
have.
Yeah.
And then we have six greats already.
My goodness.
So, one we've never seen. She lives in Alabama, too, but they're coming next week, so we'll see her.
Oh, it's exciting.
The one granddaughter from Horseheads lives in Alabama. So, it's, we're just real anxious to see
I bet. Yeah, I bet. Yeah. That's really, that's exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. During the war, during World War II, a lot of women went to work because factory jobs opened up for women as men went off to war. And that was true even in the Wellsville area. Worthington started hiring women to do welding and stuff. Did you, at that point, ever think about going to one of those factories?
Jim had been in peacetime service before I knew him. And he tried to get back in, but with six kids, they didn't want him.
They
told
him
his place was right at home.
But
now, this Mrs. Daly, Hazel, that I worked for on the Bolivar Road, that's the way she got into preheater.
She
and
started.
And then she became an office worker at preheater, too. But she, as I understand it, she started sort of a factory, you know. And then this Alice Wood that I had spoken of that recommended me to they, Hazel and Lou Daly's, she worked at Worthington. She was a factory worker.
Do you know what she did at Worthington?
No, I have no idea.
But
so I do know that, you know, hundreds and hundreds of women went to work in factories. But I gave no thought to
Never thought about it.
Of the six children at home. And living back, like we did see, we were 7 miles from Wellsville. There was just one neighbor in sight. And you don't hire anybody to come into your home with six children,
that's
so
true.
You can go out to work.
That's true.
It's just no way.
Right, you would have thought.
So, no, I guess I've, as a general thing, I've always been a very contented person. I can't remember as a girl in Duke Center ever, you know, desiring. Maybe I wished that we'd had more money than we did, but I can't remember ever being too discontented.
Yeah. What did you think about married women going out to work like that, especially during the war?
Fine. Fine if they wanted to and could, you know. But I always do say to girls, even the granddaughters in our family, don't ever get married unless you want to keep house. Because that's part of marriage, keeping a nice home. And if you don't want to keep a good home, don't ever get married.
Right.
They don't always listen. It's the way it goes.
You've always been affiliated with the Baptist
Church? I was raised a Free Methodist.
You were raised Methodist.
Yes, my mother and father were Free Methodist people. But they were the type that sent us kids to Sunday school rather than ever going.
I see.
Because my dad was busy, busy, you know, just like people today.
Yeah.
So I was raised Free Methodist, and then, dear, how old was I? When Isle Fern was 8. She's 42.
Been about 1948?
About 47. In 1947, we got into the Baptist Church in Wellsville. See, my husband's youngest sister, and her husband was a Baptist minister for 22 years.
Oh, I see.
And they brought the Baptist minister from Wellsville out to call on us because we hadn't, we'd been in the Free Methodist Church in Eldred. And then we hadn't been in a church anyplace steady, you know, because I just didn't know what to do. And I didn't drive back in those days. And anyway, we had just the one vehicle. And Jim always worked swing at the refinery. And of course, the boys weren't yet old enough to drive. So for 8 years, we were just sort of more or less shut right in the hovel and didn't go anyplace to church. Only just occasionally we would go, maybe to the Alliance Church or someplace like that. And then when Isla Fern was getting on to 8, that summer before she was 8 in October, Keith and Nola brought Bill Strout, was the pastor at Calvary Baptist, out. And he said, come pick you up every Sunday if you'll come. So we did. We started going, and we've never been out since.
So that's how you joined the...
Yes. All of the kids are Baptists except David and Carol. They're members of the Alliance Church in Wellsville.
I see.
So, We're all Bible-believing Baptists.
Yeah. I don't mean to sound ignorant, but what is the difference between, like, the Seventh-day Baptists that are in Alfred and, like, the Baptist church
here,
for
example? Well, and then the